in a moment. But while you're turning there, some of the words of the song that we just sang, the title of the song is Living for Jesus. And it's a there's a reminder in that song that sometimes living for Christ, it may not look exactly like we want it to look, but there has to be a willingness to walk through whatever the Lord has. And part of that song is willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. The Apostle Paul said that he wanted to learn the Lord Jesus Christ and become more like Him. And part of that was suffering like Christ did, that he may know the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. The Apostle Paul had a willingness to give his life for the Lord. Sometimes that's what is required if we are going to serve Christ. And we find Bible characters who walk through those very things. Not many people in today's Christianity would be willing to suffer loss like Bible characters that we saw, that we've seen and we look at. In our culture, we live in a culture that puts the wrong kinds of people on pedestals and calls them role models, athletes, celebrities, I mean, the LGBTQ alphabet crowd, like, it's everywhere. And those people are lauded or put up on pedestals as something worthy to follow, and role models and so on. Media, entertainment industry, it influences the minds of people. And God's people need to be careful that our minds are not influenced as well in the same regard, because those people are admired for their successes, they're admired for their wealth, they're admired for their influence. You've got influencers everywhere, you've got people full of charisma, a combination of all of those things. And God's people can be influenced in our thinking too, if we're not careful. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, "Where are the wise? Where are the mighty? Hath not God made foolishness the things of this world?" That's how God's people ought to view the things of this world, as foolishness. And qualities that are impressive to men are rarely the things that God sees as important. A much better source for role models to follow after would be looking at examples in the Scriptures. And like the song we just sang, willing to suffer affliction and loss for the cause of Christ. Those are better role models for God's people. And we ought to look into the Word of God. And I love doing character studies. I love doing studies on characters in the Bible, looking at examples of people and how they responded in certain situations, or what they went through and their faith in the Lord in spite of the terrible thing that maybe they experienced. And those are encouraging things to me. And I want to do the same this afternoon. We're going to look at Stephen in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at what he walked through, but more importantly, we're going to look at how he responded in the middle of what he experienced. And the writer of Hebrews, if we were to read in Hebrews chapter 11 and so on, we would find a whole bunch of people who would be worthy role models, and we won't take the time to read all of that, but Hebrews 11 talks about by faith, these people, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, others, Bible characters who didn't have much or didn't seem to be much in this world, were mighty characters used of God. Great role models, great examples, in spite of their weaknesses, triumphed over enormous adversities because of their faith. Great examples for God's people. And I want to look today at an example in Stephen, and I think there's some insight that we can gain as we look into some of his life, but more importantly, how he responded in trial. And I'm going to start just by giving a little bit of brief background of Stephen's life or his ministry in the church at Jerusalem before his death. And I want you to see that it was significant, that it was crucial. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, we note this, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." We get a little insight into the ministry that Stephen had in the church at Jerusalem before his death, that it was pretty significant. It was crucial. He played a crucial role in that church. Not only that, but he had a testimony among the brethren, because the Bible tells us here that the apostle said, "Choose out men among you who we can appoint over this business, but men who are of an honest report, men who are full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom." And the Bible says they chose Stephen, who was a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He had a powerful, positive testimony before the people in this church. He set a great example for other believers to follow. If we read on a little bit, the Bible says in verse 6, "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." He had a testimony among the brethren. He set an example for other believers. And it was Stephen who was kind of the catalyst, if you will. It was Stephen's death that resulted in the brethren being scattered to other parts of the world as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we read on a little further, in verse 8, "Stephen, who was full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." We note here that Stephen caused a stir in the community. Verse 9 said that there arose these out of the synagogue, and it lists all of them. They were not able, and what they were doing, they were disputing with Stephen. Verse 10 says they weren't able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake, and it caused them to be angry inside, and they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. They caught him and they brought him to the council. And so he causes a stir in the community, and so they bring him before this council. And then you get into chapter 7, and all of chapter 7 we read of Stephen preaching to these city leaders and these religious leaders, and he's, if you read the narrative, just blistering them over their hypocrisy. And he was preaching unto them Jesus. Go to chapter 7 and verse 58. All of 7 is this message, this preaching of Stephen. And the Bible says, and let's go back to verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran unto him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We see the result of Stephen's testimony and his preaching, that he is stoned. But when you get into chapter 8, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." In effect, we could say that Stephen was the catalyst and the transition between the evangelization of Jerusalem and the evangelization of the world. Because it was his stoning and the persecution against them that caused them to go everywhere preaching the word. Stephen had a relatively short ministry. We read some things about him. He had a powerful testimony. He was a good example. He was a witness. That could be an inspiration in and of itself. But I don't want to focus in on that as much. What I'd like to focus in on is his excellent example of faith, even in the fires of trial. I think there's a demonstration in here for us that is a great example, even in his suffering and even in his death. There's a great example for God's people and how we should respond in life. And we can learn a great deal from his character by seeing how he responded when he was confronted by persecution and even violent death. And no matter the consequence, Stephen did what was right. Stephen boldly proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ. And that becomes a great example for us even in our day. To be determined to do what's right. To be determined, no matter what the consequence, to preach Jesus Christ, to stand true to the Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what kind of ridicule or persecution we might face. And we're going to look at three things briefly this afternoon: grace and suffering, serenity and suffering, and godliness in suffering, and all found from the example of Stephen here. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us with the word again today. Thank you for the time we've shared already today. Bless this short time we spend now. May it be a challenge to God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I forget, this Wednesday night, we're starting at 7 o'clock. That also means that all of you Sunday school teachers, you need to be ready to teach your classes on Wednesday night, okay? We're starting our new schedule. We'll meet here in the auditorium like normal. We'll sing together and then we'll dismiss to your Wednesday evening classes. But I just wanted to give you a heads up for all you Sunday school teachers to be ready for your classes on Wednesday night. Okay, first of all, consider with me grace in suffering. Stephen, we read in Acts chapter 6 about his persecution. In Acts chapter 7, we read about his stoning. And what's notable to me is that at the end of chapter 7, when we note his stoning, the Bible says that these people were so angry, they cried out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears, they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. But the Bible says in verse 59, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. What a response to people who hated him. And what we note here is that he must have had some grace in his life. We've talked about the word grace a lot. We talked about it this morning. It's divine favor. It's divine enabling. In chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible tells us that Stephen was a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In chapter 6 and verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit of God. And that tells us that then Stephen also must have had the grace of God and the favor of God in his life. In John chapter 1, hold your place here and go to John chapter 1. The Bible tells us where grace comes from. In John 1 and verse 16, it says, and of his, that's speaking of Christ, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here that grace comes from and by Jesus Christ. In verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. That word for in verse 16, it can mean two things. It can mean upon. In other words, it's grace upon grace. In other words, God's favor, God's enablement, heaped up upon another, and it's just piling up for you. Or it can mean new grace that supplies old grace. In other words, it's grace that comes that's sufficient to meet every recurring need. There's grace of God that is available for the child of God. And both of those things are true regarding the grace of God. God, his favor is heaped up upon us. Amen. We are so blessed beyond measure because of the grace of God. But we can also trust him for God's enabling in the moment by moment walk through the trials of this life, because he is full of grace. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and of his fullness have all we received. It's an endless, non-diminishing supply of grace upon grace upon grace. The kind of grace or enabling that we're talking about here in the life of Stephen surely had to be in his response and his loving kindness towards people who hated him. How else could Stephen respond the way that he did to those who brutally killed him by stoning him? He said, lay not this sin to their charge. What a gracious response. That kind of gracious response can only come from the Lord. How else can a human being bestow such favorable words on those who are willing to kill him? And let me make this application here. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the grace of God. He had such kind thoughts and words towards people who hated him. But here's something to think about. How easily do we fail when it comes to being gracious to other people in our life? How easily do we fail when it comes to being gracious just to those who say unkind things to us? Are you understanding? I mean, think about your own life. Think about your own responses. What usually happens when people say unkind things to us or even say untrue things about us? What usually happens? Our pride inside of us wells up, and typically or often we might have a tendency to say equally hurtful things right back to somebody else. That's typically our response to things that really are of no significance. When you're talking about words, they're really of no significance compared to someone like Stephen who is being stoned for his faith. What will we do if we suffer persecution for our faith? What kind of response will we have if we suffer persecution for our faith? In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 19, 1 Peter 2, 19, let me read it to you. If you get there, you can follow along. 1 Peter 2, 19 says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." That's thankworthy. If you're serving the Lord and conscience toward God, you endure grief and you suffer wrongfully, praise the Lord. But he says in verse 24, "What glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." This kind of faith-filled, grace-filled response from Stephen could only be because he truly believed that God was sovereignly in control of the circumstances of his life, even his death. He was simply trusting God and God's plan for him, knowing that God would be glorified in it. And that will need to be the same for you and me in our own life. We referenced Joseph this morning in our Sunday school hour, how he suffered wrongfully. His brother sold him into slavery. He was put into prison for something he didn't do. Sat in prison a long time. Not sure of what tomorrow was going to bring. But in the end, what he said was, "Those that meant it for evil, God meant it for good." And it implies to us that he was trusting in the Lord through all of that. Stephen is a tremendous example of grace, even in wrongdoing. And we all need God's help. We all need God's help to be more gracious in our own life, to be more gracious to each other, even in simple things. May the Lord help us to be full of grace, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe just think about your responses to your family members in a typical week. Spouse, brothers, sisters, children to parents, etc. We need God's grace. Amen. Go back to Acts chapter 16, and I want you to look at chapter 6, or Acts chapter 6, rather, sorry, and look at verse 15. So Stephen is brought before this council. They were trying to dispute and with Stephen. They couldn't resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. It irritated them. They stirred up the people. They set up false witnesses against him. And then you get down to verse 15 of chapter 6, and the Bible says, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." I want you to think about that for a second here. Here these people are angry with him. Here they've set up false witnesses against him. They're railing on him, and they're looking steadfastly on his face. And his facial expression, the Bible says, was as it had been the face of an angel. Can you imagine what kind of reaction those people would have had to that? To seeing his countenance? He's experiencing persecution at the hands of these unbelieving Jews. And in the middle of this, he displays another remarkable signal that the Lord was definitely involved in what was happening. I mean, these people were vicious. They were lying. They were ungodly. They were intimidating. They were persecuting. And his facial expression must have been something that completely confused and confounded these people. Not a typical facial expression when someone is yelling at you or lying about you and then trying to intimidate you. Not the typical facial expression or reaction. The normal human response that many Christians might have in a similar situation would be stressful, would be filled with anxiety, even anger. But Stephen didn't respond that way. And it's another proof that he was filled with the Spirit of God, that the Lord was in control. It's the only way that he could have responded the way that he did. Let me just say this to you. Our responses so often are simply the result of not walking with the Lord, not being filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be, more than ever, we need to be walking with the Lord. We don't know exactly what Stephen's face looked like, but it seems like it was something supernatural, an expression from the Spirit of God, maybe radiating from the glory of God. I don't know exactly what it was, but it certainly wasn't something of his own doing. I want you to look in chapter 6 again. Because what ultimately we see about Stephen is godliness in his response and godliness even in his suffering. One thread of truth that runs through this story here is his relationship with the Lord that enabled him to be filled with the Spirit of God. In verse 5, it said that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. In chapter 7, in verse 55, it says, he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Even in the extreme rage of these people, after his sermon, just before they seized him for the last time, it gives us an indication of his relationship with the Lord. The reality of being filled with the Spirit of God has great application for us as we consider daily life, as we consider even possible persecution we may face for our faith. The Bible says that Stephen was full, being full of the Holy Ghost. The word full, it means to cover over. It means to be replete. It carries the meaning of something that is continuous. And that's evidenced in Stephen's life and his ministry, that he was continually full of the Holy Ghost. He's known for being a man full of the Holy Ghost in chapter 6. One of the qualifications that was laid out by the apostles for the church in choosing a deacon, the people saw that he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Spirit of God as he ministered and as he witnessed. So much so that the Bible says they could not resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. He was full of the Spirit of God at the end of chapter 7 when they stoned him. That is his relationship with the Lord, something continual in his life. And you know what? That is the will of God for you and me as his children as well, to be continually full of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. This is something that is convicting to me, because there's this continual battle between the flesh and the spirit. There's this continual war inside for control. Your flesh wants to control. Your will wants to control. Your passions want to control. All of those things. But the Spirit of God is the one who's to be in control of our life. So listen, listen, when we start responding with anxiety and fear and worry, and we respond back to other people with angry words or a fleshly response, when we are struggling and on with depression and other things in our life, listen, friend, we are not full of the Holy Spirit of God. When I just take a look at my week, and I look back at my responses to people or my responses to things that happened during the week, or how am I dealing and handling with stresses, things like that. When I just take a look at the week I had, can I say, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that controlled me this week? The idea here is that he was full, covered over, replete, but it carries the meaning of something continuous, walking in the Spirit of God day by day. God wants us to be continually controlled by His Spirit. Now, there's a lot of confusion and false teaching today regarding the fullness of the Spirit of God in a believer's life. Let me just say something about it. I'm going to just use a familiar phrase that maybe you've heard before. You've heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out before. Possibly. My point in saying that is this. When we are constantly filling our minds with things that are coming in, those are the same things that are going to go out. If we are filling our minds with the Word of God, and we're filling our heart and our mind with the truth of God, then the Spirit of God fills our heart, fills our mind. We're going to be controlled by it. We're going to be controlled by Him, renewed by Him. It's going to be exhibited in godly behavior, even in troublesome things. When your natural response wants to fire back, but the Holy Spirit of God puts a clamp on your tongue and you don't say the thing back that maybe you feel like saying. Control of the Holy Spirit of God. When the mind or the flesh desires to fulfill the desires of the flesh, but the Holy Spirit of God says, no, that's not good for you. Replace that with something else. And God enables and helps us to deal with the temptation. What I'm saying is, for Stephen to respond in a godly, trusting fashion, even in the face of persecution and death, was only because of his relationship with the Lord and being filled with the Spirit of God. And maybe that's the problem with us. When we lash out, when we respond in anger towards one another, it's just simply that we aren't controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. But how will we be when things get really hard if that's what our natural response is now? The truth is, God is more than adequate to meet all of our needs at any time, at any place. He did with Stephen. He gave him grace. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And may the Lord give us His grace. And may we seek to ever stay close to Him. Are you walking with the Lord? We started out on a journey, hopefully you have, of reading your Bible through in a year. I was just discussing it with a couple of people at the dinner table today. Brother Girth checks in with me about every day. We talk about what he read today. I like that. That's helpful. That's encouraging. It's challenging. There's accountability in all of that. It's helpful for us to be filling up our mind and our heart with truth so that the Spirit of God will control our thoughts, our reactions, our responses. Stephen was a great example. In spite of his short ministry, you can tell that he was a man who was used of God, a man who walked with the Lord. And of course, the credit is the Lord's. But what an example Stephen is for us. The Bible says in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rests in hope. How can we be victorious? How can we rest in hope? How can we not be moved? Only if the Lord is right there, at the right hand. And so the challenge today is this. How are you walking day by day with the Lord? Walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God? Is He controlling your responses, your reactions? Is He controlling your life? Or do you look back on your week and able to see that maybe I'm not really walking with the Lord or filled with the Spirit of God like I should be? Lord, help me. I need your grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for examples in the Word of God like Stephen, who had this testimony that he was a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And it showed in his reactions, his responses. Even in the face of persecution and death, an unnatural response, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We struggle with having right responses just to words that are hurtful to our pride. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be concerned and mindful of our daily walk, to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, the day is a day that you've made. Lord, you've given me life. Your purpose for me is to give glory to you. Lord, I yield this day to you. I yield myself to you. Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit today. Help me in whatever it is that I'm going to come across in this day. I don't know what it is, but you do. Lord, may my responses and my reactions be ones that are godly, ones that are spiritual. Lord, I yield my will, my flesh, to your control. Lord, may your Spirit guide, may your Spirit control in what I do and say today for your glory. Lord, help us to have that kind of an attitude, that kind of a spirit, that kind of heart, and to be filling our mind with God's Word and God's truth. May it be something that we care about. We always give time and effort to what we cherish, what's important to us. Lord, I'm certainly not perfect in any of it. I need more of you. Lord, I'm simply trying to encourage God's people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's keep our heads bowed.